Stayed up late again watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest. But if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hellraisers.
Welcome back to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Thursday morning, 251-343-0106. Coming up about an hour from now, Robert Adderholt. He's from the 4th Congressional District up in North Alabama. Please stay tuned for that. Also, from the Baldwin County Republican Party, my Thursday regular, Patrick McWilliams, will be with us. Make sure you stay around for that as well. Joining us now on the line, we're doing this from time to time, but always good to hear from our representative. In the 1st Congressional District, at least what's the 1st Congressional District for now, I suppose. Jerry Carl is with us. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I am fantastic.
I'm glad to hear that. So, we'll start out here because this is kind of where, I guess, the news is taking us, at least as far as it concerns Washington, D.C. Speaker's race. What is your read on that? Where are we at in that?
So we had a vote, and everybody in the room agreed that either Scalise or Jordan, whoever won, we would all walk out on the floor and support that person. I mean, that was a very simple way of saying it. So Jordan lost by just a few votes. Scalise won, and we've got a handful of people that are just refusing to honor what they said. So we've even got Jordan wanting to give Scalise his opening remarks and endorse him, and it's just a handful of people, and they're causing a lot of problems. We meet back at 12:15. I don't know what else we can talk about or what else we can do short of just get bare knuckled and fighting, which that's not going to fix anything. But it has come up a couple times here recently, I might add. But we've got to figure out who the speaker is going to be, because we got business to take care of. I mean, we got appropriation bills. We got ready to push on the floor. You know, we've got issues with Israel, obviously. I mean, it's just so many things are piling up, and we've just got just a handful of knuckleheads that just want to, you know, mess the whole system up. But anyway, as you can tell, I'm a little frustrated.
Well, yeah, but
we all are.
You don't expect this to go on for days and days and days and days, do you?
I have been wrong on everything I have guessed about this system so far. So I don't look for anything to be resolved today. And gosh, I hope I am wrong. I hope I'm wrong. But we're so divided on these 9, 10, or 12 people. I don't know what the final number is here, the latest number. But obviously they've made some deals with some of them on the side, because it was as many as 20 at one time. So I don't look for us to accomplish anything today, although we'll get together and I guess we'll talk about it and probably re-vote on something or somebody. I don't know where we're going. I just don't know. I mean, the majority, you would think the majority rules. Well, should have done that with McCarthy. We lost McCarthy based on 4% of the Republican base. Whether you like McCarthy or not, you would think 96% of the voice in the room should determine the direction of the party, but obviously it doesn't work that way. So again, we got some holdouts here, and we're trying our best to, you know, get them to the table and tell us what they want, and we'll see what we can accommodate.
Well, and you know, Congressman, I guess what it was fascinating and historic what happened in January, but I assume you're going to try to the party's going to try to avoid these multiple votes and a drama, an ordeal that goes on and on and on, like they did in January, and try to get to settle behind closed doors.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to do. But you know, you've got a handful, and it doesn't matter what the vote's on, but you've always got a handful of people that it's more important to get out in front of the press and tell their story than it is to do their job on the floor. I mean, my job on the floor, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to be 100%. Sometimes I have to give. Sometimes I have to take. When we step out on that floor, we have to be one. There's no two. There's no me. There's no I. It's us. There's one. We have to be united. this is a team effort up here to get things done in a proper way. I know our folks elect us in our district, and they elect us as individuals, and I appreciate that, and I'm so humbled to be able to represent District 1. But if I don't have relationships in the majority up here on the Republican side, I will never, ever get anything accomplished for my district. So I work hard on these relationships, but some folks more focused on their political futures. They're more focused on seeing themselves on Fox News reruns. I mean, they're just focused on themselves, that it just doesn't work. And I'm not saying all these people. Some of these people may actually have legitimate complaints, and that's for them to figure out. But I get frustrated at all these showboats. I'm not a showboat. I'm a workhorse. You know, you get these show horses, and all they want to do is prance around and look good. And it gets frustrating. It really gets frustrating because there's so many people up here for all the right reasons, but you don't hear about those. You hear about the ones that are up here just causing panic and confusion.
Congressman, the other thing, and you know, this is, we'll get more into the specifics of Israel here in a moment, but for you to get a speaker, talk about this, you know, whatever, if it's just resolutions or if there's actually something that's outstanding that Congress needs to do to get to Biden's desk. But as far as Israel goes, what do you see? What do you see as some of the things that need to be accomplished regarding that?
Well, we've got to do an additional package of money. That we've got to do. How much, I really don't know. I haven't seen those details yet. But we're trying to figure out if we can take the pro tem and use him to open the floor up to actually put that package out. You're going to see the Republicans and Democrats encourage that will support that dramatically, very, very much so. There's a package in the Senate right now that we approved some 3 months ago that the Senate has not bothered to pick up. There's already money approved from the House for that. Again, I don't remember exactly the numbers. I want to say it's $300 million. I may be wrong, but there's a package there. And of course, President Biden, as much as I've said negative about him, I appreciate the statement he stepped out yesterday and made about Israel. I think that just spoke volumes to the world. And I appreciate his leadership in saying those positive words of how we're going to stand with Israel. That's how Israel falls. We'll be the next target if we're not already the target now. So people need to keep that in mind. And we'll get into as much of Israel. I've gone through 7 briefings. 2 of them have been classified. I can't get into that, but I've got some good stuff on Israel. People need to understand how it came down and what actually happened over there.
Well, let's get into that. Okay. What went wrong? Because that's the first thing that enters my mind. Israel has such a good track record at keeping that border secure and keeping that nailed down. Tell me, like, what do you think happened?
I know exactly what happened. So I was on a briefing this morning with a guy that actually designed and built the Iron Dome. And he's not defending himself because he's got nothing to win or lose here. But what the Hamas did is they used very low techniques to do it. If you've ever been to the Gaza Strip, that strip is the full length of Gaza. I don't know how many miles that is, but it's about a mile wide. It's just open. It's just open fields, just big open fields. So the intent of that is if they crawl over the first fence and start across that, they have got electronic guns that will pick up sensors, pick them up, and actually take them out. That fence goes 125 feet into the ground. So there's no digging underneath that fence. But where they missed it was low-tech stuff. They bought cheap Amazon drones. They tied grenades on drones. They flew those drones over the top of these sensitive machine guns, I'm going to call them. They dropped a grenade down in those, and it disarmed the sensors of being able to pick them up. They tunneled underneath the first fence, and the second fence, they actually, that's where they popped up out of the ground and just literally cut the fence, very low-tech stuff. So they used cheap drones. They tunneled all the way to the second. And then, you know, they take out the automatic weapons. They knew where that party was at. These kibbutz, and I know I mispronounced that, but they're settlements where these people live. it's kind of a, it's a religious thing, and they live there and they raise their families there. This kebab that I went to, my wife and I went to a little over a year ago, it is, it's the one that got attacked. It's right there. The back door is Gaza, and that's where the children were decapitated. Those kids, they let us know through McCarthy that those kids that we played with there, the kids that actually got decapitated. So this has gotten very personal for me. But, you know, we're fighting some evil people over there. When you can harm children for no reason at all, you got real problems. You know, so you've got Israel. Now they've got to start looking towards the sea. Most people don't realize, but Israelis have got huge assets in natural gas, so they've got to protect that natural gas. They've got the equipment there that can protect that. But, you know, the four things they need from us as Americans is, obviously, they need to replace supplies and missiles. That goes without saying. They're going through their stuff pretty quick. And we're going to work on that. They need low-tech weapons. They need armor. They need machine guns. They need grenades. They need simple things. And they also need us sharing information to our constituents, which I want to do that. That's part of what this conversation is about. And the fourth thing is support. We need to support them in a positive way, in a positive way. So this has been thrusted on them. I think they have every right to defend themselves. And they've given this morning, they advised us that they were dropping leaflets all in Gaza, telling all the civilians to get out, telling them exactly what was going to happen. They were going to mow through that town. And they're doing everything they can do and being as patient as they possibly can to get civilians out of the way. Hamas historically has always used civilians as cover. So there are going to be casualties. Don't pay attention. Don't watch the news when they start talking about casualties, because this is a news war. They're going to be playing it out. I see now they're talking about these kids really weren't decapitated. You know, one side said it is, and the other side didn't. I don't trust anything that comes out of the Hamas side, Palestinians. So, it's going to be, you know, if you want to get into the biblical side of it, I mean, what's going on there is biblical. And those are God's chosen people. And I would not want to be in the situation that Hamas is in right now, because the Israelis are going to roll over them, you know, just like their mud.
Well, Congressman, let me ask you this in the Iran connection. And this is a question I brought up yesterday with Katie Britt and others. You go back to Obama even, and there's been this, I'd say, borderline obsession with the last two Democrat administrations trying to get some kind of deal brokered with Iran and unfreezing of assets. And we know about the pallets of cash and just all these weird things, and there's clear tie between Hamas and the Iranians. And I this is going to come back to haunt the Biden administration on freezing that $6 billion, and then days later have this happen. But what do you think is going on there? Why is this always the thing that these Democrat administrations want? Number one, but number two, do you think we're going to find out that there really was aid from the Iranian government for this?
Well, what you classified as aid, because the Iranian government has financially supported Hamas worldwide. They send them money on a regular basis. So did that $6 billion convince them that they should do this attack? I think this attack has been, as low-tech as it is, they've been able to stay off the airways with it. It's taking a lot of money. I mean, that's a lot of warheads to have to purchase and move around without anybody noticing. So it's taking a lot of money. Now, the $6 billion, we should never have returned that. We don't need to return it now, period. I don't care what laws we break. I'm sorry. I've already heard this. Well, we by law, we have to return it. Somebody's got to prove that to me first. But Iran is no one's friend. They're killers. They're butcherers. So let's treat them as such. Let's give them the respect that they're due, which is none. Now, I'm not saying start a third world war, and I'm not saying Hamas is 100% financed by them in this particular situation. But you get the north side of Israel, they've got the same problem. It's twice, if not three times as many. I mean, they got 100,000 reservists up there on the border, the north portion, expecting more movement from that. So Iran has helped organize this. So we, as a country, and I think the Biden administration, my personal opinion, it should be called Obama's third administration, because his same views, his same what he wanted for the Muslim countries is being played out over there. He started it. Biden is finishing it. So what we did worst of all is by shutting down the petroleum industry in America. We slowed down on drilling. We come up with all these environmental laws that prohibit us from doing this, tighten up on regulations. So it has created a whole new market for Iran. They're making tons of money off of oil and natural gas that they never made before Biden even got in office. So Biden administration, Obama administration created that market for them. We can shut that down. We don't have to pick up arms against Iran. All we have to do is financially just start putting screws to them. And we can do that. If we have strong leadership, we can do that. But right now, in my travels and my conversations with foreign leaders, we don't have that in office. It just does not exist. They don't respect Biden. They are very confused every time he comes out. Again, I appreciate what the man said yesterday. My hat's off to him in his support of Israel. But I'm telling you, this is created from the Biden and Obama administration. This is what we're dealing with. When you give them large sums of cash, you change the markets where they can get out and sell their goods on an open market and shut your own market down. I'm fighting in the Gulf now to keep our wells drilling out there. You know how Biden's fighting that? He's taking the rice well and trying to make a martyr out of it. You know, we can't kill these wells. We have to quit this drilling. We can't have this traffic. Come on, man. People got to get to work. We got to heat and cool our homes. There's things we need. But no, the Biden administration is going to just keep beating us to death. I'm telling you, Jeff, it's been a long 3 years of my life up here fighting this. It is a struggle every day. I get up with it and I go to bed with it. But hey, I may give out, but I won't give up.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate the effort. We got to get out of here. We're out of time, but thanks for making time for us this morning.
Take care, Jeff. God bless.
Thank you. Congressman Jerry Carl there on the program talking about Israel and what happened and Washington, D.C. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Nobody on the